So often in my life, and in our lives, I'm sure, scripture can make us uncomfortable. For the last few weeks, Jeremiah has been in a really grumpy mood. And then suddenly, today, there's hope. And I found that interesting because, you know, I of course avoided Jeremiah the last time I was preaching because he was in a grumpy mood, and I didn't know what to say about that. But it's nice to see, you know, now there's the first faith. There's movement forward. It's going to be all right. Dare I say, to even quote Bob Marley, "Don't worry, be happy." And then we move into Timothy. Again, can be uncomfortable. Timothy was a little uncomfortable for many, many years because that particular passage was used out of context. It happens all the time. But the way it was used against certain people in the church was the use of the word scripture being used for correction and training in righteousness. Well, doesn't that just make us all feel so good about how holy we are? And then to go on to talk about people will come along who will rebel against the sound doctrine of the church. Well, it didn't say of the church, but sound doctrine. But of course, we added the church. And they will accumulate for themselves teachers who suit their own desires. Ooh. Teachers who suit their own desires. Where have we heard that before? Or many times? Or, "I don't go to church, but I'm a spiritual person." That's one of my favorite lines. And I don't discount people's spirituality. I believe that every human being, first of all, has good in them. I don't care who you are. I believe that every human that God puts on this earth, somewhere deep in their hearts, has good in them. Ask my husband, who will tell you that I trust humanity too much. He's constantly reminding me that there's evil out there and there's people out to get you, and I turn around and I believed in somewhere in deep inside, even the person that calls me names, there's something in there that's really, really hurt them. And I need to find out why. Because I believe there's good underneath that. And I don't think Paul is telling us to bring everybody into line and command that they do things this way. There was a time in our church, in our history, where being a member of a community like this required you to have a certain checklist of things in your life. In other words, you were a good person. You couldn't come through the door unless you were this, 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 and this. And if you came through as a sinner, God have mercy on your soul. Well, that's not true. When I was at Our Lady of Sorrows in Toronto, the last thing I said to that congregation as I was on my way out the door, I said goodbye and I gave a little talk. And I said, if you remember anything about me in my ministry in this church, is that when you fling those doors open on Sunday morning, everybody walking up and down the street is a child of God. And they belong. They may not be part of your faith, but they belong to God, and we have to respect that. We don't know everybody's background. We don't know where everybody comes from. And it's not for us to decide whether or not they're worthy to be here because they're listening to the teaching and the sound doctrine. It's more important that they're here, period. People who come to us come because they feel drawn by the Spirit to be part of a bigger community, to be part of a faithful group of people who believe. That's it, who believe. We're not here to judge. We are here to teach. What we're here to teach is the gospel message of love and acceptance and belonging and being part of a big picture. It's not for us to say, you can't come here because you do this or you do that. I knew a priest who told me, and I couldn't believe what was coming out of his mouth. He was at Notre Dame Basilica in Ottawa. He was posted there for a little while. And he said to me, in all truth and righteousness, if Justin Trudeau walked up to me for communion, I would refuse it. And I thought, well, Father, aren't you something? Really? What makes you believe you have the right to do that? And it was his stand on abortion. Well, you know what, Father? That's between Justin Trudeau and God. I don't believe that anybody has the right to refuse anybody the sacraments in the church, which is why I fought so hard for equal marriage. because I believe in it. So let me move on to the gospel. And I love the last line in the gospel. When Christ comes, will he find faith on earth? He might find faith. I'm not sure he'll find church. And I'm not sure what he'll think of church in general, if he does find it. But I know he'll find faith. And the reason I know that is I had the privilege this week of being part of a beautiful, beautiful funeral, a beautiful celebration of one of our parishioners' lives. And I could not have been more inspired by being there. It was, to me, everything that faith was about. It was a celebration of life. It was a celebration of faith. It was a celebration of a faithful follower of Jesus. And not one of those faithful followers of Jesus that went like this with the Bible and said, oh boy, you're in sin. I don't know if any of you ever watched the televangelist. Some of my favorites was John Hagee. I don't know if you remember him. He was from Texas. And honest to God, I always thought he was going to burst a blood vessel by the time he was finished screaming at the television. And I'd sit there and laugh with my popcorn, thinking, this guy is hilarious. But really, this is not the way we teach. It's not the way we love. We can't do it like that. We have to open ourselves. And, you know, that means not everybody has to be like me and trust everybody that walks up and down the street. I'm not allowed to carry money around anymore. Because Barry said to me one day, you had $60, where did you go? Well, I kind of gave it away on the street, I'm sorry. I didn't, you know, I couldn't help myself. That's what I do. So I it's part of my weakness, I guess. But I thought, you know, I don't know where people who are addicted come from. But it's not my place to judge that. I have no right. I have no right. We've been very anxious in the last, 40 days, because it's all over with tomorrow, about the election in our country and about the difference between policy and the practice of character assassination, which it seems to be the modern way of working in politics. And I find that very distressing, because I remember when I was younger, and maybe I'm living in a rose-colored world, I do that too, but I remember when I was younger, no matter what they were doing and shouting at each other in the House of Commons, when they went outside, they seemed to be able to have dinner together and not tear one another down in public. But that is not the order of the day now. Politics has become very, very personal. And I tried so hard for so long to be quiet. And then on Friday, I finally lost it and I went on a rant on Facebook. But unfortunately, it's gotten to the point that it is about humanity. And I'm all for having civil disagreement on anything, like economics or, you know, regional differences, so on and so forth. I can get that. But when you drag my personal life into it, when my humanity becomes a political debate, then I'm going to take that fight, and I'm going to fight it. Somebody called me, somebody used the word snowflake for people like me who are left-leaning and very, and I thought, well, you know what, no two snowflakes are alike. I like that. I'm not like anybody else here. I'm sure I'm not. We're all different, and that's a good thing. But the thing that binds us together is our belief as a community that everybody belongs. Just like every Canadian belongs in Canada. I don't care if you've been here 10 minutes or 10,000 years. Everybody belongs. Everybody is equal. There is nobody who is better than anybody else. And nobody's indispensable, even me. Even when I'm no longer part of this parish, yes, it would be sad for me, but I'm not indispensable. And I don't believe that I am. I don't believe anybody is. So I think it's important that from these messages, from these three readings today, we take the forward thinking, you know, we're going to teach, we're going to learn. I'm so glad that I can still learn at my age. When I was, in my 20s, in the great acronym LGBT, I knew where I fit in that, right? I was the second one, I was G. But I didn't know a lot beyond that. And it took me a long time to learn, and I'm still learning. The acronym changes, there's many people on that list. And I'm not there to say, well, it's a big list, and it's all silly that people, no, it's not. We discover who we are as we move along. So in this great wide church that we have, in this great wide community and country and world, we need to learn to be together without putting our stuff on the person next to us. If we have issues with somebody, then boldly talk about it in a civil way. Don't cut someone down because you don't understand them. That's not the way. That's not the Christian way. That's not the civil way. And I think when tomorrow comes and we all vote, and no matter what happens, I'm going to go back to that Bob Marley song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." That's all we can do. Just be happy. I think that's all that God expects of us. Timothy sums it up beautifully in the verse that we do not read, the one that immediately follows this reading. "As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time for my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." That's all we need to do. Keep the faith. Amen.